I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Menards 11% rebate is here. From lighting to lumber, from doors to floors, the bigger the project, the bigger the rebate. From painting projects to that new kitchen makeover and designing that outdoor space of your dreams, save big on any project you're tackling. Hurry into Menards for an 11% rebate on everything. Mail-in rebate is a merchandise credit check, not a point-of-sale discount. Redeemable on future in-store purchases only. Not on future purchases on Menards.com. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, my gorgeous little wagon wheels. Welcome to episode 2 of the Chatting with Chorley podcast, hosted by me, Diane Chorley, owner of Canvey Island's most infamous 1980s nightclub, The Flick. I'm downloading this podcast for you in my little recording studio in Canvey Island with my musical munchkin, Milky. Milky, can you get your bleeding finger out of that Victoria sponge? But I have to tell you again, take a slice. Don't massage it, it's a cake, not a muscle. Anyway, I'm so fresh out of prison, I can still taste the plastic cutlery. My agent Hazel's been banging on at me that everyone's forgotten who I am. She's saying Jane McDonald's erased me from history. I need to take her down. So I'm here to resurrect the Duchess. So each week, I'm bringing you a brand new podcast where I talk to a fellow celebrity about our glamorous, gorgeous lifestyles and I introduce them to a song from a new album, Diane Chorley, Greatest Hits, Volume 1. Then I tell you a beautiful story about my life, why I wrote that song, and would you believe and believe it, you can download that song as soon as this podcast finishes. As soon as I breathe my last breath, you can go onto that Apple and Pear on that Spotty Flop. You can download it in your cassette player and play it again and again and again until you're dizzy with the sounds of the Duchess. But without any further ado, I'm going to introduce you to my beautiful guest today. The wonderful Russell T Davies is coming into the studio to talk to me via Zoom. I think we're going to have an absolutely gorgeous time. Russell, I'm delighted to have you on the show. I am.
Pleasure. Hello.
Thank you for doing it. You're so gorgeous and I love everything you do because, let's put it this way, I won't even say you're award winning because there's no point in saying that because the true skill of the show is what you've done. Queer as Folk. Years and Years, Children's Ward, one of my faves, Doctor Who. They're all found a place in the nation's heart, aren't they?
I hope so. That's a nice thing to say.
Well, it's true.
Thank you. Thank you, Diane. I appreciate that. Yes. A lot of good people working very hard on those shows, and I'm glad they're remembered.
I know, but it comes from your pen, doesn't it?
This room, actually, this is literally in my office where I've sat and typed everything from Queer as Folk onwards. I've had this house for over 20 years, so yeah, right here.
I'll explain to the people at home what it looks like, because it's absolutely gorgeous. There's more books than you can shake a stick at. I mean, I can't read some of them in the back there.
There's filth in there, filth.
Oh my goodness me, I couldn't say that on live TV.
Look away, Diane, look away.
Even though this ain't, it's a podcast. Not that I know what that is, I only found out the other day what it was. I was wondering, looking at all your bits and bobs over, because I've been in quarantine, I'm sure you have too, how are you coping with all of that? What's your routine? You got anything good going on?
I'm all right. I've had kind of work to see me through the quarantine. A month before the lockdown, we finished filming on a new series. It's like a big plug now, called Boys for Channel 4, which is about AIDS in the 1980s. And so we've been, it is amazing. Once you're in post-production, not a human hand needs to touch the things. So we've been all online like this, on Zoom and all these different bits of software. We've been editing, and now we're dubbing, we're grading the picture this afternoon. So it's kind of like all systems go.
Are you happy with it?
Oh, Dan, I love it.
What channel is it coming out on?
Channel 4.
Good choice. You've always been with Channel 4, haven't you? It's your favourite channel.
It's the risky channel. Well, I say that. I think BBC One over the past lockdown has been transmitting the most risky stuff I've ever seen in my life. I think we're living in a little golden age of drama in this lockdown.
Oh, go on. Like what?
Like I May Destroy You. Have you watched that?
Oh, my God. I adore it.
It's astonishing, though, isn't it?
I can't relax when I'm watching it. It's too good.
Oh, no. Well, no, you can't relax anyway. It's too real. It's literally kicking every writer and producer and director up the arse and taking us into new places. I think it's absolutely... But even then, like, Talking Heads last night, that took us somewhere new. That Windrush drama.
It's kicking off on the BBC. I'll give them that. They know their place and I adore them for that. Well, of course, they was the one that put on Your Years and Years, that beautiful show. I have to say, and I don't want to offend you, Russell, when I say this, but are you a witch? You are a bit of a witch, aren't you?
I am. I've got to say, if that program went out a year later, I would be burned as a witch in a public square, fortunately, with no one watching, because I'll be distanced. But
no, babe, I'll be holding the match.
Always ready for the match.
But when you were writing it, were you like projecting? I don't get it.
Do you know what? I was only using common sense and looking at how mad the world is. The truth is, you can never guess how mad the world is going to be. Who could ever have guessed that President Trump would be brought down and publicly shamed by TikTok users faking all his ticket sales? I couldn't predict that. No one could have invented that in a million years. Real life will always outdo. And I think that's such a glorious thing that happened. And I just hope they keep going. And I know not all TikTok users are young. I think it's lots of people.
Well, I ain't on it. I'll tell you that for nothing.
No, we are banned.
Gives me a migraine. You're banned.
Banned. Imagine me doing terrible things.
I could see you doing a nice little dance to Ariana Grande or someone like that. Do you know what I mean?
It's a shame. We're a podcast. We should be in Vision. I could do that.
No, don't worry. They'll give us a TV show. Can't keep me without a face for long. I'll tell you that for nothing.
Good.
I'm relaxing. I'll give them that. But in the show, basically, one of them becomes a bit of a computer or something, don't you? She becomes half a computer.
She's transhuman.
That's it.
Yes.
Now, when you're doing all this research, do you actually look into the science?
I did. It kind of comes the other way around. I was looking into the science, and that led to the show, really. I'm not a scientist, but I get the New Scientist every week. I read that, and I kind of stay on top of stuff. And anyway, if you look at the way we're all integrating with technology, look at us all never putting our phones down. You don't need to be an expert to predict that some sort of melding is going on there, that's the future, that we're a step away from having a little chip in our heads. As opposed to some chips in our mouths, which would be very nice.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because when I was in prison, a woman about three doors down, she was from Catford. I think her name was Teresa, I can't remember. Yeah. But one night she got put upon by the screws. Quite late at night, she weren't expecting it, but she had a memory stick with a bit of a porno on it. But she swallowed it to hide it. That night, she swears to God, in her dreams, she had a menage a trois with a caveman and a plumber.
I've seen that one.
She didn't go to the toilet for a month. Then she was charging £15 a swallow.
It's a whole new form of live streaming.
Oh, my God. Within 2 weeks, there weren't no plastic left on it. It was just metal.
I want to go swallow a memory stick now. This is bad for public health.
Oh, don't worry. I'll be selling them on my website from Thursday.
Lovely. Lovely. Put me down.
Now, Russell, I think it's safe to say that with your show Queer as Folk, you made gay prime time.
Me and a lot of other people, but thank you. I'd like to be part of that. Thank you. Yeah.
But do you know what I was thinking? That because it was so... Well, I mean, ain't nothing was like it ever on TV, was it, to be fair? Nothing like that had ever been on TV. I'm just curious, like the night it was on and you was all sat at home with it about to go on.
Yeah.
What must that have felt like? Because it was It was so big and it meant so much to so many people. I can't even imagine the excitement, but the trepidation and fear, because it was a scary thing what you was putting on.
That's interesting. I suppose, what did I do? I just sat and watched it. To be honest, it kind of wasn't prime time at first. You've got to remember, Channel 4 promised it would go out to 10 o'clock. Then they got cold feet and it went out at 10:30. So I kind of sat at home that night thinking, it felt like a stumble. It felt like we'd failed. I mean, in those days, now there's barely ever a drama at 10:30. Well, look, there's I May Destroy You going at 10:45. But it's very rare to go out at that time. And then it didn't exist at all. I remember sitting there thinking, well, no one's watching this, are they?
Yeah, because you weren't no social media, was there? Nothing like that. It was just you.
No, there was not. You couldn't look on Twitter to see if anyone watched it. So it was kind of, did I get a phone call? Did anyone phone me? I don't think they did. They still don't, to be honest. I never hear from people when things go out. For all that, I was very proud of it. I loved it, and I was glad it existed. That's not the greatest story I could ever tell, is it?
I loved it. To be honest, I adored it. I mean, you're a gorgeous accent. I could listen to it all day. It's like a Radox. No, it's like a Radox bath. I love a bit of the Welsh.
Thank you.
The reason I say it is because, as well, it meant so much to people to see themselves on the screen for the first time. So you must have people coming up to you and saying, you know, that, well, it was a big thing for them, because before that, they ain't never been seen on TV before. Not as openly and as honest as that.
But to be honest, Diane, it was equal amounts, and to this day, it's still the same. You get people saying, people are lovely and say thank you. You get, guess what? You get people complaining, saying that's not, and I mean, I don't mean the straight audience. I mean, gay people saying, that's not me. You're not representing me. And that's a very tricky subject, that, because you're not there to represent. Actually, 21 years after Queer as Folk, I can now kind of lift my head up, and I'm old and grey and I don't care so much anymore. I can lift my head up and say, actually, it's a pin sharp representation of gay men. It is so accurate. It stings. At the time, I had to sit there saying, it's not about representation, and I'm sorry if you're not on screen, but blah, 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 and all that stuff. Rubbish. It is like the most accurate picture of 1999 on Canal Street you could imagine. And it is us.
Well, you were seeing it firsthand, weren't you?
Well, yes, I love that street. I always count myself very lucky, Dan, that I was the first person to make a drama out of it. If you think about it, there was a street full of music and light and smoke and people escaping their lives to go and sit and dance in the spotlights and the heat rising off them, and they could be themselves before going back to be clerks or teachers or unemployed or sons or husbands, in an extraordinary place. And I used to sit and watch it and think, I stand at the rail and Cruise 101 and Rockies and watch everyone dancing, and I loved it, and I got to put it on screen. So yeah, I can honestly consider myself lucky that I got in first.
I've got a confession.
Yeah,
you'd often find me in Rockies with the Doolies.
Rockies, really?
Pint of Doolies, me at the bar.
Lovely.
They love me in there.
Oh my God, I loved Rockies.
I've still got a golden chair in there. If I go in, I can have what I want for free. They do lovely chicken wings.
Oh, I saw Hazel Dean in Rockies. I saw them all of them. Amazing.
Yeah, they were good times. They were good times back then, but I've not been in a while. I've been in quarantine. It's been difficult.
What, for like 20 years you've been in quarantine?
Well, you could say that, yeah, because I was in prison. I'm trying to write my memoirs at the minute. I have been for the past 30 years, but the... I don't know how you sit in one place the whole time. I was thinking of trying to get some Ritalin so I could sit in the same place, because I'm all over the place. I'm such a fidget. How do you cope sitting there and doing it?
Well, it's just, I find it easy. That's why I do the job that I do, because I'm lazy. I think I can just sit here all day and go, I'm working, darling. Leave me alone. And then just go to the fridge and back, really. It's not an exciting life.
Is it just you in that house, Russell?
It is. It's just me. Yes. My husband died about 18 months ago, so it's just me now.
Oh, my God.
Bless him. I know. He was lovely. He was properly lovely. You'd have liked him, Diane. You'd have got on.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
We'd have had a whale of a time. We'd have probably been down Rockies or whatever it is in.
Probably.
Met him. We probably had a little dance. I'd have probably shared one of my chicken wings with him.
It is amazing. We both went out on Canal Street for 10 years without ever bumping into each other. I never even saw it. Isn't that strange? It's not that big,
weird.
Canal Street. And 10 years on the same street, never saw him. The night I saw him, 1998, bang, that was it. Amazing. But we spent 10 years walking past each other. Yeah. Funny.
What was his name?
Andrew Smith.
Andrew, babe, wherever you are, I hope you're having a gorgeous time.
Oh.
He's probably up there having the time of his life, looking at us having this conversation, thinking, do you know what?
That would be nice.
That's lovely, isn't it?
I'd love that.
We send in our love, babe, wherever you are.
Thank you, Diane.
Now, one thing I will say is that all of the shows you do make always about, I think, community in a way. Do you know what I mean? Whether it's a community that's a bit outsiders or whether it's a community that is a family. And this coronavirus and all this malarkey what's happened, everyone says, oh, you know, like, it's made us a bit more distant and further apart. But I kind of feel like if you go out now, everyone's on the streets. You know, it's kind of made us more communal in a strange way. But I feel like, do you think we're losing our community in the world?
I don't know, because I'm part of the gay community, which is a bit closer than I think than the straight community. I think we're more aware of ourselves, more aware of our shortcomings and what we lack. And so we make a bit more effort. I'm not painting a gay society as a nirvana, as a perfect space, but it's a space. It's a definition. It defines us, and I like that. I don't know, because I'm from Swansea. I live in I spent half the year in Manchester, half the year in Swansea, and that's a very friendly little place, Swansea. It's even before the lockdown, you walk past people to say hello. I mean, maybe it's old-fashioned there, but it's always been there. And I'm back here in Manchester now. It's a nice street. The neighbours say hello. I don't know. I don't think it's as bad as you make it out.
No, but the reason I say it, Russell, is this, that when we was in it, so my little club, The Flick, I opened it in Edinburgh last year, opened a little space called The Flick, reinvented it. It was beautiful in there. We had a gorgeous time.
Why is it called The Flick?
Oh, because everyone in there had the same haircut.
Right.
That's important information. If you didn't have that, then that's vital. But I had this gorgeous little trans fella come up to me called Marcel in Edinburgh. And all the stories he was hearing when he was in the club, of all the old kind of gay generation that had stories of their suffering and the problems they was going through. And he said, do you know what, Diane? I never heard stories like that before, because everything what I see and all the things that I hear all through Instagram posts and Twitter, and they don't make life sound the way we pass it on through the queer community that exists now. Do you know what I mean? They see a very shallow representation in some places of our community. And I feel like maybe they lose a bit of those stories, like someone at the end of a bar telling you about the first time, you know, they went into a club and the way they was looked at. And like when that young fellow in your Queerest Focus stood there and everything's happening around him. You know what I mean? They don't get that. And you can only hear that when you're hearing it from someone a bit older who's, you know, lived in the queer community and they've seen it change. I feel that's an important thing.
Yeah. I think that's true, and I disagree, because I know what you mean. It's like you go on Instagram, and I'm very fond of all the shirtless boys on there, which is kind of superficial. Nothing wrong with a bit of superficiality like that.
Oh, babe, I'm in.
Like that. I'm in. But it depends where you look. It's like if you go on Instagram, my favourite site on Instagram is the AIDS Memorial site, which every day reduces me to tears. It's a site that posts the stories of mostly people who've passed away from AIDS, and usually on their birthday, usually or their death day on the date. So you get two or three stories every day. My God, that's powerful. Sometimes the stories are so powerful, I have to stop. It floors me. And whatever I'm doing, I just have to have a little sit down and a cry, because they're so beautifully written sometimes. So that's an extraordinary thing online. So there are, if you look, I don't think it's true. And in terms of like the trans voices out there and the all different forms of sexuality and gender, they're more visible online than they ever were sitting on a bar. So
yeah, that's true.
Good point. It is great to sit with the old lags and their pale ales, but actually, there's good stuff out there. There's really good stuff out there.
So what's that site again for people at home who want to listen?
The AIDS Memorial, all one word, the AIDS Memorial, at the AIDS Memorial. It's wonderful. It's absolutely
brilliant. We're going to post that on our Instagram and all that Twitter and all that so people can see that, because that sounds absolutely gorgeous to remember that, and it's important.
Thank you. It is amazing. Yeah.
The only reason I say it is because in Banana, I think the show, you touched on it a bit about kind of, I guess, body image, in a sense, you know, and the inclusivity of that thing. And I'll tell you, I've been online, I've been on that grinder. Oh my God, it's like a Celebrity Squares of the Morrison's meat counter. Do you know what I mean? It makes me starving hungry. I want to grab a brioche bun and a bottle of bleeding mustard and have a feast.
Hot mustard, I agree.
The thing is, as well, nowadays, is that there's two kind of looks. Well, there's genres, isn't there? Because you've got the little ones what all look a bit like a squirrel what's been dipped in Veet or something. They've got the Justin Bieber look.
Shaved squirrel.
Twinks, isn't it? I think it's a twink.
It's a twink.
All that. I love that. All the genres there are these days. I think that's nice. That's gorgeous. I agree with it, and I think it's beautiful.
Yes.
And I love it all. But I worry that sometimes, well, but then actually you say that as well. And then you've got the bears.
Yep.
You got the otters.
Yep.
So it is quite inclusive, isn't it?
It is inclusive. What worries me about Grindr, and I do browse Grindr, it asks you to define yourself too much. So you look at it sometimes, someone's 21 and they go, verse top or not top dom. And you sit there going, actually, you're 21, you could be anything. Don't define it. Those rigid definitions worry me. And I think once you define yourself, you stick to it. I'm still defining myself. I took 30 years to start reaching definitions. And
me too.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I had a little term with a little, I won't say her name for legal reasons, but a little gold medalist shot putter. I had a little turn. I enjoyed it. The way I see it, sexuality to me is a bit like, you ever had dim sum?
Yes.
It's a bit like a dim sum menu. Do you know what I mean? You can tick it all. Some people, they're happy with just a prawn cracker.
Yeah.
That'll do me. I won't eat again for another week. Some people, they want the crispy seaweed. They want the wonton. Mm. They want the soup. Fair game. Have your lot. Some people, they want the whole bleed menu. If I'm out, I'm out. That's what they think. I'm going to enjoy myself.
Mm.
As far as I'm concerned, as long as you pay for your meal.
Yes. No, I love it.
None of the food's gone off. Who am I to care where you stick your chopsticks? Do you know what I'm saying? It is a bit like that, though, isn't it? Everyone's so worried about being this or being that. It's like, just relax.
I know. It's fair enough. You might say you're 53, I'm into leather, I'm a bear or something like that. Fair enough. You know, it's the voice of experience. But when they're 18, 19, 20, 21, just think, calm down. Just don't rush to fit yourselves. The trouble, I see the word twink and I just think of a Twix.
I do love a Twix. So, of course, actually talking about all of that malarkey, pride. It's pride.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Happy pride.
Happy pride, darling.
What would you be doing now?
I would... No, a little bit of Manchester Pride is normally in when's it? August, end of August. So I save my pride till then. I love Manchester Pride. But I get asked to do things like, I get asked to raffles or I get asked to do things like this, podcast talks. So, you know, I chip in with the best of them. And I mean, to be honest, because I'm a gay writer and I write gay scripts and I have a certain responsibility for those scripts, I kind of have an all year round pride. You know, I don't noticeably get busier in June. Do you know what I mean? It's like all year.
Yeah, it's your bread and butter.
Yeah. Which I love. You know, normally people say you might be called a gay writer. I'm like, well, I love it. I am. It's what I am, and I'm immensely proud of it.
Yeah, quite right. There is a lot of people saying though that, and I feel like this is quite a big thing at the minute, is that too many of these brands that jump on the pride bandwagon, they say, oh, we're pride and we're this and we're that. And then where are they the rest of the time? Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what, Diane? I'm going to say no. I don't agree with that. I think on every single board of all those big companies, every Barclays bank, every big shop in the high street, there's someone on that board saying, let's not do this. We're a family firm, we're a family company. And there are people on those boards fighting, saying, no, we will support pride. And the day all those companies disappear, that's when we need to worry. Yes, they're jumping on a bandwagon slightly. Don't live in a capitalist society if you don't want to do that. Don't live on a raft. But we are capitalists, and if capitalism acts in our favour, I love it. I mean, maybe this comes from years of starvation, where in the 70s or 80s, you'd have died to see a big brand name, a big drink, a big clothes shop, a big sports firm, a big bank, a supporting pride. So now I can't get enough of it, to be honest, and I really think it's dangerous when we start to criticise those companies, because all right, push them away, have them go, okay, it's not worth it, we're getting criticised, bye bye, gone. And you watch it when they all go. I think it's taking gay rights for granted, and I think it's a very big mistake. You'll miss them when they're gone.
Well, that's me told. What am I to say? I'm going to sit here quiet.
I'm very opinionated about that.
The only reason I say it, Russell, is because someone bought me a little while ago some of that LGBTQ+ pride shower gel.
Mm.
My muffin top, it swelled up like a burrito. I was soaking in Dettol for about a month after that. I had so much Suda cream on, I looked like a nice finger.
Oh, nice and slippery, though.
And it was, I was slippery. I ain't going to lie, Russell. I was slippery. But I ain't going to go into that now. I couldn't lean on a wall for love nor money. I'd shoot out the hall. It was a nightmare.
Pop.
I tickled myself there. It's not often.
We like that.
It's the thought of the Dettol. Coming back to one of the biggest and most popular things, what you do, Doctor Who.
Yes. Hooray.
Now, in the 80s, my era, that, what's his name? Tom Baker.
Oh, yeah.
What's your favourite era?
Well, I was that age. I was that Tom Baker age. I was 11 when he became the doctor. He literally fitted my comprehensive school years. I was 11 in the first year, and when I left the upper sixth, that was the year he left. So for me, Tom Baker is that growing up. I love it all. I do love all Doctor Who, and I'm not on it now to say that because I don't work for it anymore, but I genuinely do. I could watch any adventure from any time, but that was the special bit. I mean, when you're 11 through to 18, that's when you stop being just a viewer and a kid, and that's when you start to love it, and that's when you start to buy the merchandise and document it and do lists in your head. So that's when the passion becomes fandom, really, and I love fandom.
Would you consider going back? If it was me, what was the Doctor?
Oh, I've put Diane. We're there. Oh, come on. What a laugh.
I'd keep it modern. I probably wouldn't have a screwdriver. I'd probably have a vape or something, because that would be ever so modern.
Lovely. Yes. Sonic vape. A sonic vape is actually, that's genius.
Sonic vape. it's right in itself here. A sonic vape. I can see that in Toys R Us. It's set a fortune. Every kid in the country going out of their mind on bleeding sonic vapes.
And it would stop children smoking. It's actually educational and healthy.
Dreamy. Well, there's no evidence. Vape. There's no that evidence that it brilliant. Is actually helpful vapes, but I like it anyway. I've got myself down. I'm going to trademark that now. Sonic vape. Okay, put them on eBay.
Good old Milky.
But they was ever so scary, those bleeding things in the 80s. I can't remember what they was called now. There was the BBC owe me money for counselling because I didn't sleep a bleeding wink after most of those times. I was behind the chair. Cry me eyes out.
You could sue them as well. You've got a lot of court cases coming. I'll support you all the way.
Oh, I tell you what, I've got more claims directs than a venue. Someone help me. Milky, get this on video. I could make a quick buck out of this. It's a nice little income for me. I don't want to lose that. I'd be doomed. The thing is, though, whenever I went on my first holiday, when they started doing like cheap travel and all that, I went to, I can't remember where it was, somewhere, and I went snooker diving. Is that what they call it? Snookling.
Snooker diving. Snookling. Yes.
And I was under the water and I was looking at all these things, these rocks and stuff. I thought, that is science fiction.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I reckon that's where it came from, you know, all that malarkey. Someone having a little dive up,
well, yeah.
They see all the coral and they're like, that's out of space.
Yes, the colours on those things, Finding Nemo. Finding Nemo is phantasmagorical, isn't it? It's gorgeous.
I've not seen it, but I'll check it out.
Diane.
Russell, I love you so much. I'm so grateful you came on the show.
Let's meet in person. That'd be a laugh. I'd love to meet you.
Come down the flick when we're doing it in Edinburgh. Do you ever go to Edinburgh?
I tend to go to the festival, so obviously that's not on this year. But and isn't that the most beautiful city? I love that city. Why is there no big drama series set in Edinburgh? It is so beautiful. Why isn't there like an Inspector Maud?
They don't need the money. That's why. They're having such a nice time making money out of mugs like us every bleeding summer. They don't need loads of people muggering around, causing a problem.
You're right.
I went down there this time. Some woman, she started talking to me in the queue. I thought, oh, I'm going to have to speak to her. She's like, oh, is that a Miller Lite in your bag? I was like, yeah. All right, babe, thanks. She was like, what are you up to this afternoon?
Oh.
I said, well, I'm just getting me Miller Lite. I'm going to go home and eat it. She said, why don't you come to me show?
Oh.
Oh, my God. It was so uncomfortable. I was sat on a church pew.
Oh, no.
Honestly, my piles were going off like a rocket. I was trying to concentrate. In the end, on the way out, I said, you know what, babe? No offence.
Yeah.
I put an invoice in there. I said, I ain't never going to get that time back. You owe me, girl.
Liza Minnelli's not who she was, is it?
And it gave me angina because it was bleeding horrible in there. Spores everywhere. I could see them in my eyes.
Oh, yeah.
It was a nightmare. But that's Edinburgh. You get used to it, don't you?
Yes, you do. It is beautiful.
They've got me a nice little suite in the castle up there where that Hogmanay happens. I have a soldier visit every 10 minutes. It's beautiful. They bring me a little box of hotel chocolate, which is my favourite.
You see, I don't like that stuff. I don't like that stuff so much. Rather about Cadbury's or something, is that?
Well, you'd like a Twix, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Yes.
Or if you did have a Cadbury, what would it be? Fruit and nut? Oreo?
No, I want to try that new one, dark milk. I want to try. I keep looking at shops, I can't find it. Dark milk.
Ooh, sophisticated.
It's a Cadbury new one. It's milk, but dark. It's dark, but milk.
Bourneville for the less risky, I would call it.
Yes, exactly. Or, yes, a whole new adventure in Bourneville. That's
Bourneville
that's
for people without indigestion.
Oh, they're listening. I've got a great big box delivered to my house now. That'd be nice.
Oh, yeah. Let's do a little... If anyone from Cadbury's listening,
yeah.
Russell's ever so hungry in Manchester there, he could do with 15 jumbo Toblerones, please.
Beautiful. I want to see Desert Island Discs. I mentioned my favourite pen on that. They sent me a big box full of pens. Thank you very much. I'm sitting there thinking, well, why did I mention a holiday to Barbados? What an idiot.
Well, I might just do a list now.
Yeah.
Baileys, Pringles, Hula Hoops, Radox.
This is the contents page.
Vodka, Jack Daniels, Flash. Okay, that'll do. Russell, I just want to say thank you for coming on my podcast. I adore you. Please keep writing all these beautiful characters and these beautiful stories that give us hope and excitement and joy. And, well, just thanks, really. I adore you.
Thank you, darling. I really appreciate that. A lovely time. Thank you, darling. Stay safe.
I will, babe. Now, as I said at the top of the show, I was going to tell you a little bit of story about my life and where I come from and, well, how I was inspired to write my beautiful song, The Night, that you'll be able to download at the end of this show. And I tell you, it starts a long, long time ago. Growing up in Canvey in the 70s was ever so boring. We played games like catch the spit, pick the scab and guess where dad is. When you got older, the only place you could go was the social club attached to the petrochemical factory. We called this place the Flick because every bugger in there had the same bleeding haircut. But I tell you, it was bleeding paradise. Most nights you'd find me in there with me mum. She'd be drenched in Reeve Gauche, losing at the bingo, giving at the disco finger to the Bee Gees, or heckling some racist toupee-clad comedian with skin like a chicken nugget because every punchline ended with a poof, a bitch, or a slapper. And to be honest with you, we were sick of it. Outside, in Canvey, people were starting to get along. It was a new world. They was getting along and laughing and trying hard. But in the Flick, everything stayed the same. And that because of a woman called Janet, what ran the place. Now, Janet, she was about five foot tall. She had hair like Rod Stewart. She was always holding a crab stick. She never ate it, just held it. And her fingers absolutely stunk. She kind of woman what always spoke with her eyes half closed. Do you know what I mean? And she was calm, oh, ever so calm, but inside she was raging. And you could tell because her mouth was ever so tight like a little calamari. She wouldn't let no one in the club if they weren't white or straight. She was ever so bleeding fussy and didn't half get on my wick. And I tell you what, it got its worst when I turned 18 and I went down there with all my gorgeous friends. They were from all over the world. There was the gays, the straights, the bilingual. It was beautiful. We walk up to that club. Janet didn't let us in. She said, "You ain't coming in tonight, Diane, I'm afraid. Not tonight, no." I said, "What, Janet? I'm looking in there. There's no one bleeding in there." She said, "Not tonight, Diane. That's it." Then, with a big old smirk on her face, she took a deep toke of her beer and ate till smoke started coming out of her forehead. That night, I sat in the car park of the petrochemical factory with a 4-litre bottle of Diamond White and I thought to myself, "Do you know what, Diane? One day, you're going to buy that club and you're going to open it up to everyone. Everyone will be welcome. The Flick." And who'd have thought it? 2 years later, my little mobile pharmaceutical business started to do ever so well for itself. I had the council flat, stone clad. I had a gorgeous little avocado bathroom suite. I had panthers made of porcelain, white they was, massive, as big as the real bleeding animal. People would queue up to look in my lounge. It was like a museum. Well, I had so much money, I didn't know what to do with it. Then one day, I look in the little Evening Echo, and I see the petrochemical factory's got the Flick up for sale. I stormed in there, put a load of cash on the table. I said, "I'll make you an offer you can't refuse for that club." And like that, the Flick was mine. That night, I crowded up everyone I knew, everyone that had ever been turned away from Janet, everyone she thought was a foreigner, a freak and a weirdo. And we went down to that club like it was Mardi bleeding gras. I kicked open the doors, I stormed in. I said, "All right, Janet, babe, how are you?" She said, "Get out of my bleeding club." She almost swallowed her B&H, she was so angry. I said, "I tell you what, Janet, I think you'll find this is my club now, babe. You work for me." She was livid. She turned round, she stormed out. Then she looked back at us and she said, "You bleeding bunch of freaks. You're going to turn this place into a hellhole." I said, "Bye, Janet, babe. Just so you know, you'll always be welcome at the Flick." After that, I opened that club up to anybody who wanted to come. All of a sudden, these little kids from all over the place, all over the UK, heard of this place where they was welcome and accepted no matter what they dressed like or no matter who they loved. And they was welcome. Word got around and it became popular. I gave the place a little bit of a zhuzh up, put a couple of palm trees in as you'd expect. Kept the pale ale on for the old fellas, a little tequila sunrise bar for the kids. And before long, everyone was getting along and it was beautiful in there. These kids, they would run around the place and I loved it. They felt so welcome and happy, and for the first time in their lives, they were somewhere where they could truly be themselves. And this song, what we're going to play for you, I wrote that song looking at those beautiful people dancing around my club. Because you know what? Every single one of us live our lives in the day trying to be something, but at the end of the day, some of us just belong to the night. That's it. No round of applause because it ain't live. Just a dead silence of milky breathing.
That was beautiful. Beautiful.
Behind picket fences, on cul-de-sac roads, that dampened your spirits for why you just didn't know. And you wore your wife's clothing when she was at church. It made you feel normal when normal life hurts. Then you came into our door at the flick. You ain't strange anymore. Cause some of us belong to the night. Disco lights are here to guide you. Some of us belong to the night. Leave those cares far behind you. Some of us belong to the night. Your Rolodex flickers on the 31st floor, and the sound of it echoes off the white for Michael walls. And you dream of the weekend, tight white denim jeans, from Rita the Eater to the disco dancing queen. Then you came in through our door at the flick. You ain't normal no more. Cause some of us belong to the night. Disco lights are here to guide you. Some of us belong to the night. Leave those cares far behind you.
Thanks again to my beautiful, gorgeous, wonderful guest, Russell T. Davies. Weren't that absolutely beautiful? You've been listening to the Chatting with Chorley podcast, written and performed by me, Diane Chorley. Touches the canvas. The beautiful music you hear, that's written by myself, Diane Chorley, and the gorgeous Milky. The show was produced by my own personal gorgeous superhero, Chris Jones. This is a Hat Trick podcast. The music for the show is available to download immediately after the show's released. Get it in your ears, get it in your eyes. We're sending you love wherever you are. We love you. We'll see you next time.
Some of us belong to the night. Disco lights are here to guide you. Some of us. Belong to
Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.